get my shoes and out the door. 5, I'm alive. 6, 7, 8, feeling great.
Hello, BYWG Tribe. This is Dr. Noah. We wanted to make you aware of our never-before-featured Book of the Month and a Best of the Best for the Product of the Month for May 2018. Keep in mind, all the links, discount codes, and special offers for the product and book will be listed in the show notes in iTunes, in our weekly newsletter, and on our website at www.beyondyourwildestgenes.com at the Listen Now tab. Our Book of the Month is Neurosculpting, a whole brain approach to heal trauma, rewrite limiting beliefs, and find wholeness, by my friend Lisa Wimberger. Our product of the month is ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the number one source for grass-fed and grass-finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage breed pork, delivered via subscription on a monthly or bi-monthly basis. I personally use ButcherBox and highly recommend. The special offer for BYWG listeners is for any new subscriber, you'll get $10 off your first box and free bacon included in all boxes ordered for 2018. Yep, you heard that right. Free bacon for all orders and boxes ordered in 2018. You can hear Lisa Wimberger on the podcast in May 2018 and Michael Salguero, CEO of ButcherBox, in the BYWG podcast archives, June 19th, 2017, on our website at www.beyondyourwildestgenes.com. Hello and welcome back to Beyond Your Wildest Genes podcast. My name is Dr. Noah DeCoyer and I'm your co-host today. Our guest is Dean Pullman from Man Flow Yoga. A little insight into my personal life. I've been practicing yoga pretty diligently for 2 years now, and it has changed my life both physically and mentally. So I'm very excited today for this interview. Good to talk to you again, Dean. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Noah. I'm doing well. Thanks again for having me on the show. But I'm doing well. Ready to chat.
That's great. So let me just run through your bio, and then we'll get started. Dean is the leader of the number one brand of men's yoga for fitness, Manflow Yoga. Since starting Manflow Yoga in 2013, he has published Yoga Basics for Men, which hit number one in 4 categories on Amazon, released the top 2 best-selling Yoga Boost DVDs, and created an audience of over 150,000 on social media. Dean's work has been used by professional athletes in the National Football League and Major League Lacrosse. Dean's fitness-centric approach to yoga has allowed thousands of men who would not otherwise have tried it to get stronger, improve mobility, and prevent injury. Not only that, his unique strength-focused approach to yoga has helped people experience atypical results when compared to traditional yoga, including increased muscle mass, improved muscle activation, and increased active ranges of motion. So, Dean, first question we ask everybody is...
That was a really long bio.
Nah, you know what? I just did another interview, and that was an easy and a short... That was a great, perfect bio, so I'm happy with that one.
Okay.
So, give us your backstory, Dean. Tell us, I know that you are a lacrosse player. What other nuggets can you give us about your story, and then how did you find yoga? It's got to be an interesting story.
Yeah. So backstory. So I've been active since I was 5 years old. And ever since I can remember, I've always been either the fastest or trying to be the fastest. And always very competitive, always very interested in fitness, always interested in being, first in suicide drills, being able to push harder, being able to go longer, being able to endure more, not necessarily being stronger, but always being able to last longer and being able to just tough it out for a little bit longer. So that's kind of my mentality, as I was growing up and as I was playing sports. I always believed that I might not be the best right now, but I'm going to outwork you and I'm going to out practice you and I'm going to be better eventually. So that's kind of my mentality. And that might help you get to know me a little bit better. But with yoga, I actually started on complete accident. I was looking for a tailor. I wandered into a yoga studio instead. I told them, okay, look, I play lacrosse. I've been lifting for the last 3 months, and I haven't done any cardio. And I need to work on my flexibility. Would this help? And they're like, oh yeah, absolutely. You should definitely do it. And I said, okay, whatever, let's do this. And I figured that it'd be easy. I figured it'd be difficult in a different way, but I had no idea difficult workout that I'd ever done. So those of you familiar with yoga, this was a Bikram yoga class, which is a 90-minute, 105 degrees, 26 postures, no dynamic movement whatsoever, just staying still and sweating your ass off the whole time. And that was a humbling experience. 45 minutes in, I thought the class was done already, and I was already completely exhausted. And from that moment on, I kind of fitted myself to doing yoga, because I realized, wow, I'm really bad at a lot of these things, which means that I have a lot of opportunity to get stronger from this. And that's the story of how I started my own yoga. And the teaching story began when I started to get my lacrosse team to do yoga with me. Nobody wanted to go to a studio with a conditioning coach. So I said, okay, well, we're going to do yoga. And actually they loved it, because instead of sprinting, they got to do yoga. They liked it. I think that I've changed a lot of people's minds about, well, I know that I changed most people's minds on the team about yoga, but yeah, that was how I started teaching YouTube channel, so that I could get them to do workouts over winter break. And then, yeah, just kind of snowballed from there, I guess.
Now I go to a yoga studio several times a week and practice on my own. But when I go to the yoga studio, I'm usually the only guy in there. You know, sometimes there might be another one, but it's not that frequent. Is this essentially the reason why you felt the need to create a brand of yoga that's essentially focused on men, even though women can do your program, but you created this essentially for guys?
I think so. Part of it is yes, because I don't think guys felt comfortable going into a yoga studio, and not because, you know, most guys, a lot of guys would love to go into a yoga studio full of women, you know, wearing yoga outfits and be in that environment. But I think a lot of guys feel uncomfortable because women might feel uncomfortable with them in that environment. Cause I think this is in 2011, 2012 when I was starting yoga. And I think even then, and I don't know if, what your experience with this is, but I think that kind of be leery of men who are in a yoga studio. They'll think that they're there just to pick up girls or something like that. So part of it was because, yeah, there's not a lot of guys going to studios. The other part of it was, I think men and women are different in terms of their fitness goals. In terms of their fitness goals, in terms of how they approach fitness, you know, you can talk about masculine versus feminine energies if you want to, but more significant than that is women and men have different physical fitness goals, and they have different bodies. You know, men want to be strong. They want to have big shoulders. They want to have a chiseled core. Women want to be flexible. They want to be mobile. They want to be sexy. They want to be toned, right? They're not as concerned with building muscle mass, even though they're not going to build muscle mass from yoga, but that's beside the point. So I wanted to create a different type of yoga that would appeal more to men, not just their physical goals, but also to their anatomy. The guys aren't as flexible. Their hips are not as mobile. And they use their bodies differently. So, I felt like I wasn't getting the instruction that I needed as a man. And so I wanted to create an instructive type of yoga to teach guys, hey, this is how you do this effectively, or this is what you should be doing with your body. This is what you should be focusing on. This is a modification that would make sense for you. So yeah, part of it is because, you know, guys aren't showing up to yoga studios. And then also because guys have different bodies and they have different fitness goals.
You also created a program that's really, like you just said, focused on the physical aspect, eschewing the spiritual component. Does all of this fall in line with what we just spoke about?
Yeah, it does. I mean, so for me personally, so you gotta think. I've been playing sports and you might be in a situation too. But you probably, or maybe you played sports when you were growing up. You know, you worked out with your team. You worked out in the gym. You went to the weight room. You trained on your own. Whatever it is, you were working out. You were moving. Now imagine that you were working out. You were exercising. And someone tried to combine a spiritual component with it. So it'd be like, for me, experiencing the spiritual component of yoga while doing yoga for the first time was kind of like if you've been in a weight room and let's say you were doing like tricep extensions or you're doing bench press. And then someone said, okay, like five more reps. And then they would say, okay, try to connect with something. I'm like, No, we're tricepping right now. This is not time for that. So that was kind of my interpret. That was kind of how I took it. I'm like, this doesn't feel right to me. So that's why we focused on, or that's why I kind of created this brand that focused on the technique and the benefits, because when I'm exercising, I'm exercising. I practice spirituality on my own in other ways, and that has nothing to do with the way that I exercise. So that was the intent behind creating the fitness centric approach.
And what, and I really appreciate the distinct difference. I really, really do. What other things do you focus on in Manflow Yoga that makes it different from other types? Because there's a lot, like you mentioned Bikram and Hatha, and there's a multitude of different yogas. What other things make your programs and your perspective different?
Yeah, so this goes back to another story of me going into yoga studios. But when I was first starting out, I was really inflexible, and it took my body a really long time to be able to get into the poses. But with yoga instructors, with the typical vinyasa class, so vinyasa means flow. So typically a vinyasa class involves one breath, one movement. So you're in one pose for maybe 10 seconds, and then you move to another pose, and then you transition to another pose. So it's very, it's not fast moving, but it's kind of, it's a little bit more dynamic. And that didn't work for me because I would get into a pose and my body was just so tight from, you know, playing lacrosse and weight training that I needed more than 10 seconds to work into a pose. I needed 30 seconds. I needed 45 seconds, 60 seconds to be able to work into the pose. So one of the first things, one of the biggest, more significant changes I made was making the poses last longer, so that you can work deeper into the pose. But that also had the added benefit of holding the pose for a longer time. So developing more isometric strength, which helps to prevent injuries. It's going to help build muscle mass. Some other differences, the modifications, the kind of I mentioned before with the difference between men and women. Men are not as flexible, especially in the hip area. So, a lot of the instruction gives modifications for guys who aren't as flexible as women. So they have you bring your feet closer together in lunges. We'll have you use a block or bend your knees for forward folds. And then the third way, and I'll just do three ways because I don't want to go into all the seven ways that I think it's different. But I think the third biggest reason, and this is the one that we hear most feedback from our members and people who do the workouts in our programs, is the emphasis on muscle activation or the emphasis on engaging the right muscles. And that goes back to me wanting to know more about the technique, wanting to know more about, hey, what should I be feeling in this? And unless you are an advanced yoga instructor, and I say advanced because yoga instructor, you basically pay about $2,500 to you know, maybe up to $5,000. You do 200 hours of training. You go to classes on the weekends. You read yoga philosophy. And then you're a yoga instructor. But it's really only advanced yoga instructors who understand the proper muscle activation and understand what muscle they should be using, which muscle should be lengthening, which muscle should be engaging or flexing. And so I wanted to bring that into, I wanted to make that available to everybody. So the third aspect is a focus on the muscle activation, telling you which muscles you should be engaging, which muscles should be lengthening. And that improved muscle activation leads into so many different things. I mean, you probably, I mean, Noah, I'm sure you can relate. You work, you're in an office. You're probably not moving that much. So when you go to work out, you have to do something to get those muscles firing. Am I right? Or
yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm a chiropractor, so I move around a bit. But I do, surprisingly, because I track everything, I sit a hell of a lot too. So I totally know what you mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was the... I think that muscle activation component is one other thing that really makes it stand out.
Yeah, I think that definitely does. Now, your products are all DVD or online based, correct?
Right. So, yeah, we've got DVDs and we've got online, online streaming and download stuff.
Yeah, that's great. I know I've gone through some, and I absolutely think it's fantastic material. Now let's talk about results. So,
mm-hmm.
Traditional yoga, going to a yoga studio versus doing your program twice a week for a month. What differences will you notice between the two different types of yoga, or your yoga, or the Manful yoga versus a traditional vinyasa?
Sure. So with typical vinyasa, you're still going to get results. I'm not saying that Manful yoga is the only thing to get you results. But with a typical vinyasa class, you have to remember that the emphasis is not just on the fitness. It is yoga as it's practiced in mainstream, or yoga as it's practiced in studios, is not just a workout. It's also a holistic practice. It's also a spiritual practice. So when you go to a yoga studio, you're not going to get as much emphasis on technique. And the reason for that is because most people going to yoga studios don't want that. They want to go because they want to feel good. They want to relieve stress. They want to release some tension. They're not going because they want someone barking at them and telling them, do this with your neck, do this with your arm, make sure to externally rotate your front hip. You know, they don't want to hear that, but there are some people who do want that. Like people like me who would want to hear, hey, I want to make sure I'm doing the technique right. I'm here because I want to get better. I'm here because I want to improve my performance. So if you go to a typical yoga studio, you'll improve your flexibility. You'll probably improve your core strength. You'll probably improve your balance. And you're going to improve, I'd say you improve your coordination and your body control, and definitely your breathing. You're definitely going to work on your breathing, and that's going to translate into helping with stress throughout your life. If you go Manful yoga instead, you're going to experience more significant flexibility increases. You'll also experience mobility increases. So instead of just passive range of motion, we're going to work on your active range of motion. You can expect to build more muscle, especially in your hips, your glutes, your thighs, and your core and your back. You're going to work on balance as well. And the breathing aspect is there. So, and then you're going to work a lot more on technique. So kind of, as I said before, the culture, is culture the right word, or more so kind of the expectation of what you get when you're at a yoga studio is more on the experience, and less on the technique, less on the effectiveness of the workout. People really want to, when people go to a yoga class, they want to relieve stress, or they want to feel like they had a really good workout, right? They want to sweat a lot. That's why the rooms are heated. Well, one, because of post-prevent injury, but also because, they're going to sweat more. They're going to feel like they got a better workout. So with Manful yoga, if you're more interested in your performance, and you're more interested in kind of a functional fitness and just getting overall better results, that's kind of what I what I offer.
Now, how do you work, or how do you suggest people work yoga into whatever exercise routine they already currently have?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a question I get a lot. And it depends on your goals. But overall, I recommend doing yoga at least twice per week. So let's say, like, Noah, what are you doing right now? What's your current routine?
My current exercise routine all across the board is I go to the yoga studio twice a week. I do a lot of functional movements like push-ups, pull-ups, squats, and planking on a regular basis, and then I work to get at least 10,000 steps a day. That's my basic every week exercise routine.
Cool. All right. So for someone like you, Noah, I would recommend alternating your calisthenics days with yoga days. So you do your strength training, you do your push-ups, you do your pull-ups, you'll do your squats and your lunges one day, and then another day you'll do your yoga, right? So Monday yoga, Wednesday yoga, and then Tuesday, Thursday, you're doing your calisthenics. With your walking, because I don't think that yoga should just be something that you do. I don't think you should just do like 20 or 30 or 45 minutes of yoga twice per week and then stop there. I think you should work on inserting yoga into kind of an evening routine and a morning routine. And I'm not saying you need to do 20 minutes of yoga then, but just 5-10 minutes of yoga. So maybe you go outside in the morning and, you know, you do a lunge, you lift your arms over your head, you do some back bends, you do some twists. If it's the end of the night, maybe you've just finished, let's say you had to do 2,000 more steps and you went for a walk and then you came back home. That would be a great time to do 5 minutes of stretching, like 5 minutes of hip stretching to loosen up your hips, to help loosen your shoulders, relax your shoulders so that you can improve your sleep. So part of what yoga is good for is the functional fitness aspect. It's improving your mobility. It's improving your range of motion so that you feel more fluid in your movements. You feel better throughout the day, and you also recover more faster. But it also works on your sleep. Doing yoga at night helps to relax your body. It helps to get your body into the rest and digest state, as opposed to, you know, fight or flight, where you're stressing out at work all day, or you're maybe you just finished a workout and your body's still revved up and ready to go. But just taking a few minutes to do that stretching and kind of use it as a way to complement whatever activity or whatever activity you're moving into next is a great way to use yoga. So if that answers your question, minimum of 2 times a week, but also just doing it for a couple of minutes, a few minutes throughout the day to help complement whatever situation you're in.
Yeah, one of my favorite instructors is this guy named Fernando, and he's the absolute strongest person I've ever met in my entire life. And I don't think he's online. I think he's just a local instructor, and he has another business. But the point is that just integrating it into your routine. He teaches a yoga class at a CrossFit box like every other week, and I generally take his class because I really like it, because it is really focused on strength. But when he teaches that class and these CrossFit people are in the class and they are strong individuals, and when they start doing this yoga, they do not look strong anymore. So I think it's very important complement to whatever exercise routine you really like to do.
Yeah, I totally agree with that statement. And it's just a matter of convincing people that, hey, I don't care what you do, this is going to help you get better. More mobility means more strength. You know, better control of your body means better control over your body. You know, more muscle activation means more strength, means more efficiency. And more flexibility means recovering more quickly. You know, so there's one guy in particular that I'm thinking of. He's from Australia, and he's been a member for years now. But he used to, and he's in his late 40s, but he's jacked. I mean, he's a really in shape guy. he was working out three times a week, like doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday. But he was getting sore. He was getting tired. And he was having trouble sticking with that workout routine. He now works out five times per week. He just does yoga on Tuesday and Thursday, and he crushes it. He says he's stronger than he ever was because of all those added benefits of doing yoga. It's just a matter of reaching the right people. But that Fernander guy sounds like an awesome instructor. And I would love to be at that, you know, that CrossFit box. I love to see CrossFit people struggling.
Well, you know, they can jump on a box like a thousand times and lift these weights, and they are strong. But then when you ask them to get into a Warrior One or Warrior Two and hold it for 30 seconds, it blows my mind. So it reinforced my belief that there isn't only one approach to exercise, and integrating a multitude of approaches is really the best way to go.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. And that holding the posture, like you said, holding a Warrior One for 30 seconds or 60 seconds, that was what was so humbling from that yoga class that I took. I was like, wow, I can't even hold myself in a lunge for 20 seconds. I thought I was strong, but apparently I'm very weak.
Well, you know, it's muscles are strong, but once you complement the muscles with having strong tendinous junctions and ligamentous junctions, that's where really real strength lies. At least that's what I believe.
Yeah, that sounds right to me.
Now, let's give our audience a little something practical. Mostly all of us listening, women, men, we sit way too much. So what are some of the best poses that we can do to kind of counteract the negatives? Because we know how negative sitting is, to counteract those negatives of sitting all day long or for multiple hours a day.
Sure. So I'm going to give you five poses. But before that, I'm going to tell you there's one theme for all these poses, and it's a really simple one. Just keep this in mind when you're trying to think of what to do.
Okay.
Do the exact opposite of what you're doing while you're sitting. Right. So if your hip flexors are in a flex position, extend your hip flexors. Your spine is in flexion. Let's get your spine in extension. Let's do some back bending. We're not twisting, right? Where there's no twisting movement when we're sitting. So let's do some twisting with the spine. You know, the hamstrings are tight. Let's do the opposite. Let's stretch the hamstrings. So that's the theme. It's super simple, and it's really like, well, duh, but do the opposite of what you're doing while you're sitting. So my five favorite poses for that, I would say a lunge with a back bend. So as opposed to just a lunge with just a basic lunge, holding a lunge and actually doing a back bend. So reaching your arms back as far as you can, using your rhomboids, so actually using your scapular stabilizers, squeeze your arms back and get your back active as opposed to just reaching your arms up, but actually getting your upper back active when you're doing it. Twisting, so a runner's lunge twist, which is, I'll have to send you a photo for this, but basically you're doing a lunge with your hands, with your fingertips resting on either side of your front foot on the ground. And then you reach one arm up. So if your right foot is forward, you're going to reach your right arm up and then twist to expose your chest to the side wall. So that's called a runner's lunge twist. That's going to help get some not only hip activation, but you're also adding that benefit of the twist. Wide-legged forward fold. So just a wide stance forward fold. But instead of folding your spine, so instead of going into flexion with your spine, use your fingertips on the ground to pull your chest forward and try to keep your spine neutral. So it's similar to a wide-legged forward fold, but just have that wide stance. So you're opening up you're stretching your adductors, you're opening up your groin, but instead of folding forward, you're going to keep your torso pulling forward and maintain a neutral spine with a flat back. Number four, I think a Warrior Two pose is fantastic. Number one, it's opening up your groin. Number two, it's activating your glutes, which is something that, you know, we all need more of, especially if we're sitting. It's also got a core element, and you're also opening up your chest. Arms are extended laterally. Biceps are stretching. Your chest is open. You can also engage your scapular stabilizers there, get a little bit of back action. And then number five is a pigeon, but make it active. So a pigeon stretch it's an external hip rotator stretch, and it's done on your chest. Trying to think how to explain this. So you're going to bring your knee from a tabletop position. You're going to slide one knee up slightly outside, one hand to the outside, and then get your inner thigh to face up. So you're kind of making a figure four shape with your body or with that leg, and then extending the other foot back. But instead of folding forward, we're going to have to include a photo for that. But instead of folding forward, like a lot of people will do, try to keep yourself upright. So that's one big theme. But those are my five poses. But just to conclude on those poses, that's one big theme in yoga, is people fold way too much. And that's actually why I hesitate recommending people go to yoga studios, is because there's way too much flexion without actually activating your core. And that's not what you need. If you're sitting all day and you're in flexion all day, you don't need more flexion. You don't need more flexion. You need extension. You need the opposite. And if you're going to do a posture that involves flexion, you better be focused on keeping your core tight. And most people don't emphasize, most yoga instructors don't emphasize that in a yoga class, which is why I'm really hesitant to recommend people go to yoga classes. But you'll notice that in all of the modifications I gave to those five poses that I gave you just now, the emphasis is on extension through your spine rather than flexion. Did that make sense? Did I explain that okay, Noah?
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. And, you know, I just want to add to your idea of extension. You know, I take care of people all day long, whether it's kids or adults, and we're all stuck in flexion. Forward head posture, anterior head posture, too much texting, too much computer use, too much phone use, too much sitting. So I teach them extension exercises all the time. Mm-hmm. Upward facing dog, just basic shoulder rolls, leaning their head back, because we are absolute a society, a world caught in flexion.
Oh yeah, that's a phrase that I haven't heard before, but that is absolutely true.
Yep, and you know, yeah, we listed those five things. I mean, you could just, whether you can go to the Manful Yoga and get an idea of what these are, or you can just Google them or their books. But they are basic. Just for the audience, those are basic poses. Those aren't crazy poses where you're, you know, bouncing on your head. And those are very basic poses. Right. No pretzels that allow you to counteract sitting. So even though they sound a little bit off kilter, they're really easy. And, you know, and pigeon is definitely one of my favorite yoga poses, without a doubt. And sometimes I take
yin. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, sometimes I take a yin yoga class. And I'll be in pigeon on both right and left sides for 2, 3, 4 minutes on each side, you know, and really work into those hips for sure.
Yeah, pigeon is – I don't think people realize how much effect your external hip rotators, your glutes have on your back. People do pigeon, and then they get up, and they realize that, oh, my gosh, my back feels way better. So the first time you do pigeon, it's – awful. I remember the first time I did pigeon, you know, after I was doing heavy squats and deadlifts for, you know, 2 years, 3 years, and hadn't stretched my glutes once. And then I think they put me in a pigeon and I was like, you've got to be joking me. This is not a real stretch. This is torture. I couldn't even last 10 seconds. But yeah, now it's something that I do every day and I love doing it. I mean, it helps with your back so much. It helps you get stronger glutes, which again, nobody doesn't, I don't think there's anybody who doesn't want stronger glutes. But yeah, that pigeon stretch is amazing.
Yeah. And you know, and I do forward fold when I do pigeon, but I also extend my arms and extension when I'm in Pigeon too. I do both ways because I personally need that extension. And extension exercises too, from a chiropractic point of view, really helps with those lower discs, particularly for people who have, you know, blown discs or herniated discs. Extension for most of those people is crucial for their recovery.
Yeah, and it's disappointing because like those people, I get messages from people who say like, yeah, L4, L5 issues, you know, fused disc. I get messages from those people a lot, and they're like, should I just go to a yoga class? And I'm like, no, don't just go to a yoga class. You can't just go to a yoga class because they're not going to give you what you need. They're not going to focus on the extension that you need. They're not going to focus on that core strengthening that you need, which is why I actually created a program called Bulletproof Your Back. It's the phase one of it is free, so it basically tells you whether or not you should be doing extension or flexion based exercises, and then, you know, gives you a few workouts to do. But yoga has the potential to be so good for you, but I think that the way that's being taught in, you know, the cookie cutter classes is just not what most people need, unfortunately.
Yeah, what I think is you have to find the right studio and the right set of instructors that are right for you, is from my perspective.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree. I'm glad you brought up that Bulletproof Your Back, because you are absolutely right, Dean. There are some people with certain low back conditions that have to do flexion type exercise, not extension. So it's really that's another example of really tailor making the right type of exercise program to get you the results you need.
Yeah, and it's kind of counterintuitive because you think, well, my back really hurts when I do extension, so I shouldn't do it, right? So then you do forward folds because you think, well, maybe it's just really tight and it's angry, so I need to, I need to release my back. And so that was actually what I was thinking that I needed to do. So for a long time, I was really focusing on forward folds, and I actually bought an inversion table because I was like, man, my back is still hurting. I gotta work on this a little bit more. And eventually, I think I saw someone say something about doing more extension and feeling better. I was like, well, let me try that out. And ever since then, I gave up my inversion table years ago. And as soon as I started focusing on those back bends with proper form, you know, not just doing a back bend with reckless abandon, like you would be advised to do in a Bikram yoga class, but doing it properly, that was when my back started, you know, I started having no back problems unless I was sitting for a long time or traveling. Quick side story.
No, you're right. And it's important for people to hear that information. Now, give our audience a little bit of an example. And all the links will be in the show notes and everywhere, so people will be able to reach Manful Yoga. But is it something where, you know, you have a space in your house, you set up your computer, you log in, you put it on, and you just watch you, and you just go through the course, go through the class with you? Is that essentially, basically how it goes?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's recorded workouts. Workouts of all types. We've got a pretty in-depth workout library. We have over 200 workouts, workouts from 10 minutes to, you know, 75 to 80 minutes. You can filter it by fitness focus. So if you want to work on mobility, strength, overall balance, we've even got a self myofascial release section. And then you can also focus on what body part you want to work on. So hips, you know, glutes, shoulders, chest, arms, wrists, ankles, that kind of thing. And then programs too. So not just workouts, but actual programs with a specific intended goal. So we've got stuff for runners. We have stuff for people who weight train. We've got stuff for people who are office workers and need to work on their posture. And then also we try to make it more about the community too. So, we've got a Facebook group that's pretty very active Facebook group. I send out emails every Monday and I make myself available for people. So we really try to emphasize the community aspect of it as opposed to just, you know, giving you access to a bunch of workouts, which is part of it and you need that. But I try to make it more about a community, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's important for any type of whether it's a CrossFit box or a yoga studio or an online community. Community is kind of what helps you stick to the program and get the results and the benefits that you want. Now,
Yeah, very true.
just a few last questions, Dean. And I ask this question at the end of every one of my interviews. What are your rhythms? What is your structure from waking to sleeping? What's your daily routine? You said you walk your dogs, but I'm sure there's more to it than that. What is your routine like every day?
Yeah, I'm actually glad you asked this question. I didn't know this was coming, but I'm glad you asked it because this is something that I've tweaked so much over the past few years. I started working for myself with Manful Yoga in 2013. And ever since then, I've been tweaking my morning routine, tweaking my evening routines. But basically what it has come down to is I wake up between 6:30 and 7:30. And the first thing I do is I drink spring water mixed with Himalayan pink sea salt. I have my supplements, so I'll have fish oils. I'll have, right now I'm taking lion's mane mushroom. I do cordyceps. I take a trace mineral supplement, and I take vitamin D. So I'll take all of those, and then I'll go outside. Luckily I live right next to a field, kind of like a park. So I go outside, I'll do some stretching. I'll let my dogs run around. If it's nice, I'll take my shirt off and get some vitamin D. And I live in Austin, Texas. So like I can do this right now. I know it sucks. If you're in the North and it's tough to do that, but like,
Just got whacked with like a massive snowstorm. So there'll be no taking my shirt off and stretching today.
Yeah. Not without some Wim Hof technique. Yeah, but I grew up in Cleveland, so I'm allowed to do that now, and I'm allowed to gripe about it because I grew up with that. So yeah, I take advantage of the sun and Texas weather as much as I can. So that's what my morning, the first part of my morning looks like. Then I come inside, and I don't turn my phone on until after I've done the stuff that I want to do in the morning. So I don't turn my phone off airplane mode until after I've gone outside, walked the dogs, done my stretching. I come back inside and then I make my smoothie, which is power greens. I do a collagen protein from Natural Force. I put in chia seeds, flaxseed, and then half a banana for taste. Sometimes I add some berries, and then I'll read. So I'll read for 30 minutes. And something I started doing this year, which I really enjoy, I take notes on my reading. So instead of just reading, I'll try to write three things that I learned, three of the most important things I learned from whatever I'm reading. And I read a lot. I'll read stuff on movement. I'll read stuff on diet. I started reading biographies last year, and I'm enjoying that. And I do a lot of self-development books, business books, that kind of thing. And then after I've done all of that, after I've done my reading, I've had my smoothie, walk the dogs, move, stretch, then I will put on, I'll take my phone up airplane mode. Hopefully, there's not some major crisis. Usually there's not. I mean, I'm not selling, my job is not, if nobody has access to their yoga workouts for the day, it's not the end of the world. So, even if there is a problem, which there rarely is, it's not a huge issue. So, and then I'll go into the office or I'll come home for a little bit. I usually work straight through until 2 o'clock, and then I'll go back outside, do some more movement, do some more stretching, maybe do a workout, and I'll take a break until about 4 o'clock, and then I'll come back in and work until I make dinner. I do all my cooking myself, mostly. If I go out to eat, it's for an experience. It's not because I'm going out to get, nourishment. I cook a lot. I try to learn new dishes, but usually I just stick with making bison hash. So I just take, good quality beef, mix it up with vegetables and olive oil, and serve it alongside more vegetables. Sweet potatoes or beans if I need a little bit more carbs that day. And then my evening routine is I meditate for 10 to 15 minutes right before bed. If I'm feeling particularly wound up, I'll do some self-myofascial release with a little cross ball. Or I use these tools made by a company called Knot Out, K-N-O-T-O-U-T, that I really like. And I'll read and try to have conversations with my girlfriend. But no TV unless she really wants to watch something. But if the TV's on, then I've got my blue light blockers on. I don't know. Are you part of that weird crowd that uses blue light blockers?
I have three different types. So yes, I have good. Tried multiple different types. I have them on right now during our interview. So yes, I'm part of that weird crowd. So yeah, let me ask you: do you the Lions Made in the Cordyceps? Is that the Four Sigmatic brand or a different brand?
I think it is Four Sigmatic. Yeah, I could run and check for you right now, but it's you know what? No, it's not Four Sigmatic. It's real mushroom.
Okay, because I'm partial to Four Sigmatic. Not that there's any other brands, but I've interviewed Taro, the owner, a few times, and I really like their products. So you should try them out one time, definitely.
Yeah, I will. But yeah, that's pretty much my routine. I try to I'm not the kind of guy who will work 16-hour days. And I also recognize that I do my best work when I'm minimizing my stress. So there's a certain point of the day when I realize that I'm just getting too wound up and I need to step back. So I can't do, I cannot do 16-hour days. I can work for about 6 hours straight unless there's like a major launch going on or something, but anything after 6 hours straight, I need a break. The way that I live my life is to enjoy my life. Like, I have a mission, I have a purpose. But the way for me to best fulfill that mission is by taking care of myself in the process. So that's kind of my approach it's really just four things. I think it's working out regularly, sticking to it, making it a non-negotiable priority. It's eating well, making sure that you prepare your own food as much as possible, and that you think of food as fuel and not as, not as a source of pleasure. Every now and then, going out to dinner is fine, but not mainly. Good sleep, and then managing everything, having an evening routine in place, making sure that you are doing the right practices to facilitate good sleep. And then also, while you're sleeping, keeping your room pitch black, wearing earplugs, keeping the temperature down below 70 degrees, keeping a fan on. And then stress management. So meditation, going for walks outside, just going and doing nothing and being still and being silent for a few minutes a day. And I think really that's it. As far as those are kind of the four guidelines that I use to guide my the decisions I make and kind of the daily routine that I go through.
Well said. I eat, exercise, and try to do the same exact things you're doing on a regular basis as well. Any last words, Dean?
I would say that if you are apprehensive about doing yoga or you're not really sure where to start doing it by just doing a couple of poses a day. Use it after one of your other workouts. Just start doing it as kind of a stretch after you've already worked out. Maybe you do it between your workout. Maybe it's just doing a couple of balancing postures. But just start with a little bit and grow from there. It's much better to set a really small goal for yourself than to set, an overly ambitious goal and failing when you don't reach that. So just starting small, doing what you can, and doing it in a way that's sustainable. And find something that you like too. If you go to my website and you hate me, don't use me. don't use Don't use Mantle Yoga. But if you go to another website or you go to a YouTube channel and you find something that you love, do it. But make sure you enjoy it.
Totally agree. Now, you guys are kind enough to create a special 15% discount code on all your plans, and that would be all caps BYWG15. So thank you very much for that, Dean. I appreciate that greatly.
Yeah, absolutely. We look forward to welcoming anyone from your community.
Yeah, I hope a lot of people. And as we mentioned too, it's guy yoga or man flow yoga, but women are definitely doing your programs as well, correct?
Yeah, we've got actually our number one review on Amazon is from a woman for that guy yoga DVD, which is called Yoga Boost on Amazon. But I think our member base is about 10 to 15% women. So we get a lot of women in the community because a lot of them don't like the typical approach to yoga. They want the no-nonsense approach. They want to have better results. They're focused on their performance and their health. And so they dig the Mantle Yoga approach. So, yeah, we've got women too.
Thank you so much for your time, Dean. My name is Dr. Noah DeCoyer, your co-host, and you are listening to the Beyond Your Wildest Genes podcast. If you'd like what you've heard today, please share this with your friends and family and encourage them to subscribe on iTunes. Better yet, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please give us a 5-star rating. It helps more people find and hear our information. You can sign up for our incredible weekly email at www.beyondyourwildestgenes.com. Thank you, and as my oldest son Hayden says, be awesome and never unawesome.
Four, get my shoes and out the door. Five, I'm alive. Six, seven, eight, feeling.